Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part one of Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 21, 15 through 22, called Slaying the Giants.
Slaying the Giants. Well, when I think of slaying the Giants, I can't help but think of baseball. And one of my favorite things is to see the Giants go down. It's one of my favorite things in life to see those San Francisco Giants. I hope there's no San Francisco Giant fans in the house tonight, but I love to see them go down. And that is not the immediate context of 2 Samuel. I think you all probably realize that. But we all have giants that we face in life, and they can seem huge. They can seem very overwhelming. They can seem very difficult, and sometimes, frankly, just too big for us. And when the early story of David's life unfolds, there was a giant who was taunting the armies of Israel, and that record is found in 1 Samuel. I want to show you that just to show you kind of the setting of what made David famous to begin with. 1 Samuel chapter 17, look at verse 1 with me. 1 Samuel 17, verse 1. By the way, when the nation wanted a king, they wanted a king to fight their battles. That's really what they had voiced. And this is what it records. It says, 1 Samuel 17, 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. And they were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines, verse 4, 1 Samuel 17, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, about 9 feet tall. And he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his leg and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him. And he stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine and your servant and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." Again, the Philistines said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul, verse 11, and Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, we won't go through this whole story tonight because we're in 2 Samuel 21, but we know what happens. David shows up, this little shepherd boy, you know, he doesn't seem to be the likely hero of the story, and he says, "I'll fight this uncircumcised Philistine. Let me at him." Tries on some armor. It doesn't work real well. And what does he go out there with? He goes out there with basically a little slingshot, 5 smooth stones. Some people say, why did he have 5? Because Goliath had some brothers and maybe a little extra ammunition, right? And we know what happened, right? Goliath began to kind of say, you know, "What am I, a dog that you come out like this?" And we know what happened to Goliath. Goliath was told, "Goliath down." And he did. He took 1 to the forehead, and that was all it took. And the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And David became famous in the nation of Israel because of that act and other things that he did. And they would sing of David. Saul has slain his thousands, but David what? His 10,000s. And David became a hero. It was a hit. It was the hot song in Israel. It was number 1 on all the charts, all about David, right? He was the hit of the town. And David had established himself because he was brave, but his bravery was not about his own strength. His bravery was that he believed that the Lord would show up in that battle. When he was facing that giant, he said, look, I don't come at you with these weapons. That's not my main thing. I come at you in the name of the God of Israel. I believe in his power to take down giants just like you, no matter how intimidating you may look, right? And so that's what David did. David's faith made him a light to his nation. In fact, he's going to be called in this text, the lamp of Israel. And what makes somebody shine tonight? If you want to shine in your house, you want to shine in the city, you want to shine in your family, you want to shine in your company, it's going to be all about faith. It's not so much the gifts that you bring to the table, but the faith that you have in Almighty God. Jesus said, let your light so what? Shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. And so we are supposed to shine. And that's what David did. And David had to face his giants in life. We've been reading about it. We've been studying it in 2 Samuel. And it was a hard situation at times. There were times when the story didn't go the way David would want it to go. But David had to deal with his giants, and you're going to have to as well. 2 Samuel 21:15 picks it up this way. It says, now when the Philistines were at war again with Israel. I've noticed as I've studied 1 and 2 Samuel, I'm sure you've noticed if you've studied the books as well, that the Philistines show up again and again and again. It's not just one time that you have to fight the Philistines and they just go away and they put their tail between their legs and go running off into a corner. No, the Philistines showed up again and again and again. And the spiritual battle is that way. I wish I could tell you that once you win one victory, it's all going to be cool. The devil just goes off and hides in a corner and you're never going to be bothered again. But that's not the way it works. The devil, Luke 4:13, after tempting Jesus, went away and waited for a more opportune time. The devil, 1 Peter 5:8, goes about as a roaring lion doing what? Seeking someone to devour. He's on the prowl. He goes to and fro, Job chapter 1, upon the earth. And his activity, of course, is not just his own. He has others with him. And so the Philistines were at war again. It seems like war happened again and again and again with Israel and the Philistines. And David went down, probably from Jerusalem, and his servants with him. And as they fought against the Philistines, David became weary. The Hebrew word for weary is oof. Not kidding. O-O-F. Oof. If you watch the old Batman series, you remember when they would punch somebody? Oof! Pow! Boom! Whoa! Anyway, that just totally dated me. And the caption would be in that little jagged, you know, thing up above the head of the Joker. Well, there you go. Well, the word oof, weary, doesn't mean necessarily that David was afraid, but that he was faint. He was weak. Sometimes in the battle, we become weary. Now, we imagine David as this ruddy, always on fire man of God who wasn't afraid of anything, could take on any giant. But in this particular battle, and we don't know in the epilogue section of 2 Samuel, since we've come to the epilogue and we don't know the chronological order, we don't know if this is before the fall of with Bathsheba, after Absalom's rebellion. We don't know for sure where it lands. But when David fought this particular battle, he became weary. He became faint. When a king was on the battlefield, and some believe that this has to be the before the fall with Bathsheba, because we're going to read something in here that there's an incident that occurs here that David apparently doesn't go back on the battlefield again because of their concern for his welfare. But if you were a king and you were in the midst of the battle, the enemy would turn their sights upon you, because if they could kill you, they could pretty much, you know, hurt your whole nation, hurt your whole army. So it would seem that David was in the midst of the heat of the battle, and he was fighting multiple people. We don't know all the backstory. But when they fought against the Philistines, end of verse 15, David got tired And you're going to get tired sometimes too in the battle. And that is okay. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest. Sometimes you're going to get weary in the battle. Sometimes you're going to try to dig deep and you're going to look for resources and you're going to run out of your own resources. And that's when you're going to need the Lord. You're going to need maybe a respite. You're going to need to just come to him and say, Lord, you need to fill my cup because I got nothing left to give. And there are many times during my week that I'm weary. Many times when I give myself away to preaching or to people or to stressful situations, you can all relate with your job and your family and whatever you're going through. And I want to be strong for those around me. And I tap into the resources that God gives, but I still get weary. I told the people when we were going on our trip to Israel, I said, hey, I don't wake up every morning feeling like I can conquer the world, right?
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Did you miss part of today's message? You can always listen again on demand. Catch every teaching from Pastor Michael Lance on the Walk in Truth app or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's an easy way to keep growing in God's Word and stay grounded in biblical truth throughout your week. Just search for Walk in Truth and start listening anytime.
Your financial support helps keep Walk in Truth on the radio, and it also helps us reach people all over the world through the podcast. That means someone driving home from work, someone on a morning walk, or even someone on the other side of the globe can hear the hope of Jesus right when they need it most. And here's the cool part, every gift helps. Even a small step like becoming a monthly partner for just $5 a month makes a big impact. Think about it, for the price of less than one coffee, you could help keep Bible teaching going out day after day. So would you join us? Head over to walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com and become a partner today. And thank you.
We'd love to hear from you. If today's teaching on Walk in Truth encouraged you, challenged you, or raised a question, reach out and let us know. Send your comments, reactions, or questions to contact@walkintruth.com or give us a call at 844-48-TRUTH. Your story and feedback matter, and they help us continue equipping believers to apply God's truth to their daily walk. That's contact@walkintruth.com or 844-48-TRUTH. We look forward to hearing from you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
So it would seem that David was in the midst of the heat of the battle, and he was fighting multiple people. We don't know all the backstory, but when they fought against the Philistines, end of verse 15, David got tired. And you're going to get tired sometimes too in the battle. And that is okay. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest. Sometimes you're going to get weary in the battle. Sometimes you're going to try to dig deep and you're going to look for resources and you're going to run out of your own resources. And that's when you're going to need the Lord. You're going to need maybe a respite. You're going to need to just come to him and say, Lord, you need to fill my cup because I got nothing left to give. And there are many times during my week that I'm weary. Many times when I give myself away to preaching or to people or to stressful situations, you can all relate with your job and your family and whatever you're going through. And I want to be strong for those around me. And I tap into the resources that God gives, but I still get weary. I told the people when we were going on our trip to Israel, I said, hey, I don't wake up every morning feeling like I can conquer the world, right? That's not how it works. I need God's resources every single day. And David, in the midst of his battle, became weary. It would seem that the Hebrew sentence indicates that the Philistines were the aggressors in the battle. And so it's kind of like if you get this idea of the Philistines are on the march again. The Philistines are on the march again. The Philistines, they're circling the wagons again. Okay, let's grab our armor. Let's take the fight to them. And the Christian life can seem that way. But I don't know what people without God do in the battle. Amen. I'm so glad that I have armor. I have the armor of God, not my own resources. So I am to put on the full armor of God. That's how we take our stand against the schemes of the devil. And he does have schemes. And David was weary. And so Israel, contrasted with the Philistines, Israel was supposed to be governed by God. That's the idea of the name Israel. Look at verse 15. The Philistines were at war again with Israel. Israel means governed by God. The Philistines, the name actually means an invader. It could mean an immigrant. And so when the Philistines came at Israel, the invaders were coming in, and Israel was trying to be governed by God. And you and I are trying to be governed by God. We're trying to live out the priorities of the kingdom, and we often feel like we're being invaded by the enemy. And sometimes we've met the enemy, and it's the person staring back at us in the mirror. Ouch. Sometimes it's the war within. Sometimes it's just simply the flesh. But the war goes on. And David became weary. The word for weary, as I mentioned, oof, O-O-F in English, can mean to cover with wings or to fly or to be faint. I want to turn you to Psalm 69, one of many times that David cries out to God in the midst of weariness, Psalm 69. And I do believe that a psalm a day will help keep weariness away, or at least it will quell it. Psalm 69, verse 1, David writing says, "Save me, O God," 69:1, "for the waters have threatened my life. I have sunk in deep mire," 69:2, Psalms, "and there is no foothold. I've come into deep waters and a flood overflows me. I," verse 3, "am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. What I did not steal, I then have to restore. O God, it is you who knows my folly, and my wrongs are not hidden from you. May those who wait for you not be ashamed through me. O Lord God of hosts, may those who seek you not be dishonored through me. O God of Israel," I don't want to fail. I don't want to fail the test. I'm a leader, David would say. I'm leading the nation. They would call him the lamp of Israel. That's a big burden to carry. And David's enemies, if you look at one of the verses here, I think it's verse... verse 3 or 4? His enemies were powerful. Yes, they are powerful. Those who would destroy me, look at verse 4, are powerful. Think of giants. Think of somebody 9 feet tall. Think of if Shaquille O'Neal walked into your neighborhood and started calling you out. Michael! Come on, let's fight. And Shaq's only 7'1" or 2", right? This dude makes Shaq look short. Come on now. What would you do? I believe in the Lord, but that guy's 9 feet tall. I'm 5'8" on a good day, 5'9" on my license. Before I became a Christian. Doesn't it crack you up when you see the stats on a football or a basketball player and it says he's this tall and you're like, no, he ain't. He's not that tall. Isaiah chapter 40 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, vigorous young men stumble badly. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain" what? New strength. "They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Charles Stanley told a story one time. I think it was one of his books or one of the teachings that he gave. And he said that He was at a point in his ministry, there was a lot going on. There was a television program, there was radio, there was the church, there was speaking engagements. And he said that after Sunday, for a while in the ministry, he would wake up on Monday and he was sort of tired, but by Tuesday morning he could get going. And then he was tired on Monday and Tuesday, but by Wednesday morning he could get going. And then he was tired on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and by Thursday morning he could get going. And he knew he was in trouble. And one of his good friends looked at him in the eyes and said to him, "Charles, you need a break. You need to go on a hiatus. You need to get away from the ministry for a while, because if you don't, you're going to sink to the bottom. You're going to be done. And I'm going to talk to the elders of the church, and I'm going to tell them that you need a break from ministry for several months." And it was very difficult. Charles Stanley said it was very difficult for him to accept that. It was very difficult for him to come to the realization that he was tired and that he needed a break. And that friend talked to the elders of the church, and they did give him a break. And he said he enjoys photography, and he went off to a mountainous area, and he was taking photographs. And he said all of a sudden he saw an eagle in flight. And he said the eagle had just caught a wind gust, and it was just beautiful when you see this, right? The eagle was just soaring. Not but, and the Lord spoke to him in that moment and said, "That's what you need to do. You need to take the wind gust of the Spirit and soar. You need to trust in my resources and my strength, because if I could put it this way, you've been flapping your wings. You've been dipping into your resources, but I have an endless storehouse of resources. In fact, I give strength to the weary," God would say. "Those who are tired, I have tireless resources. I don't get tired. You do, I don't." It may be that when we end up in heaven, we don't get tired, although I have learned to enjoy naps. Can I get a witness? Anybody? When you're little, you don't want a nap. And as a parent, you say, "One day you will want to go to bed." Right? They don't get that. And so God was teaching David about the depths of his strength. I believe that one of the great lessons of our lives, and I'm still trying to learn it, is how to best tap into God's strength. And I've realized something, and I have said to you guys many times, I don't like it, but it's just reality, that usually the only way I can tap into God's resources is when I'm feeling like I don't have my own. And when I'm weak, then I am strong.
You've been listening to Slaying the Giants, Part 1 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 15 through 22. You can email Pastor Michael with questions or prayer requests at contact@walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
You know, there's times in life when everything seems magnified and you get emotionally exhausted. Maybe you're a bit spiritually tired and you're like, "Man, I feel like things that looked small and conquerable in my life are now magnified." I had a season like that a couple years back where things that were normally fairly easy for me to do in my ministry and so forth became overwhelming. I wrote a book called Oh My Soul, March On With Strength. That's available on Amazon. You can ask for a copy if you want to contact us through the website. And I think on Amazon, it's about $15. The opening of that book, the introduction of that book, tells where I was at. And I wrote a devotion on the first 30 Psalms to encourage you if you're at a place like that where everything's sort of become big and overwhelming in your life. And, sometimes that's just where we end up. Maybe it's secondary stress. Maybe it's just a lot of emotional stuff going on in your life. Maybe you're just trying to minister to so many other people that you just hit the wall. The book is called Oh My Soul, March On With Strength. It's on Amazon. We do have copies here at the ministry if you want to reach out to us. It is walkintruth.com is the website. Amazon is the place you can grab the book. I'm not too worried about selling books, but I'll tell you this. I do think that the introduction of that book and the daily devotions basically set up so that you could have a psalm a day to read all throughout the month would minister to your heart. And so reach out to us or check it out on Amazon. Again, the website is walkintruth.com, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free. Also, more people like you can dive deeper into the Word of God and apply it to their life. Please consider becoming a Walk in Truth monthly partner of at least $5 a month, or give a one-time gift. Please visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for part two of Slaying the Giants. I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.